Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for getting on board. By Mark Greshner over at Mark Greshner Photography. Dude had his truck stolen this week. Feels so bad for him. Thankfully, they found it behind the Milky Way. Now he's got the headache of working through insurance. But that guy is definitely one of the top photographers around. In fact, he was so lucky his camera was not in the vehicle when that idiot took it. Mark, better luck this week, buddy. Better luck this week. Also brought to you by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage. You can get in the real estate game with Paul Waldo in Regina and surrounding area by calling 306-502-5355. By our friends over at Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, Corey Zadarozniak and the gang. You can give him a call for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance out there in the Weyburn area in southeast Saskatchewan. A good supporter of this podcast and Saskatchewan football at large. By our friends over there at Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Paul Riviere and his great family, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified Durham yellow peas and chickpeas. By Face First Medical Aesthetics up there on the second floor of the Gabos building in downtown Regina on Dewdney Avenue. They are offering birthday Botox now and Brotox for the guys out there. Guys, you try to beat back father time in the gym, but how about on your face? Still look natural, but turn back the clock. Go see the folks over there at Face First Medical Aesthetics. SAS Selects Football, Zelko and Deb Stefanovic. We'll talk about them with Addison Richards coming up here, building the stars of tomorrow today out there at the Yar Center in Moose Jaw with their football program. Also, let's give a shout out to the boys next door, window cleaning. We've got Nathan and Landon for window washing, gutter cleaning, and pressure washing. Check out their website, theboysnextdoor.ca. Just ahead of our first guest, that would be Addison Richards, our coach of the week for Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. We know we're nicely into fall. These are the top reasons fall sucks. Early dusk means that even when you can convince your kids to go outside, they're going to spend even less time out there. You already deal with the chill thanks to your relationship. The fireplace requires wood, and of course that requires work. Another top reason fall sucks, you hate Trump and the Republicans. And of course, the color of fall is the color of Trump. Orange. They have pumpkin spice everything. Except enemas. I mean, like, what's the deal here? Another top reason fall sucks. No more days at the beach showing off your dad bod in that camo Speedo. And the top reason fall sucks. Shrinkage. Am I right, fellas? All right, it's National Coaches Week, and here in Growing the Game with Ballsy, we like to highlight coaches, and I'm talking to one right now. He's a former Ram receiver, Sheldon Williams Spartan alum. He was a former top pick of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He is now coaching in a 7-on-7 league out in the Moose Jaw area, put on by Zelko and Deb Stefanovic. It's Addison Richards. Now, Addy, first of all, before we get into coaching and everything like that, let's give a shout out to Zelko and Deb and what they do for football. That 7-on-7 league sounds like it's a pretty fun thing they got going on there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, everything that Deb and Zelko do when they put their time into the selects, whether it's the winter program or this 7-on-7 that they've just kind of scraped together in light of their possibly not being a high school season, is just fantastic. It gives kids a chance to get out and still play the game and still have some fun.
So who was the big coach for you growing up? Who's the one you looked up to that you still think about?
There was a number of them, but I still have to say that the biggest one was Rick Seaman, a guy that you probably know pretty well also. I remember the very first time that I strapped on a helmet was at a Rams minor camp. I think I was, 12 years old, and I still remember Rick. He was old then, and he, he's a guy that's always, it's always been about more than football with him. So I would say Rick.
Yeah, Rick Seaman, the Birdman. He's responsible for Receiver U, as we like to call the University of Regina. What do you like about coaching Addison Richards? Because you're giving back your time to the community now.
Right off the bat, you know, when I stepped away, it was kind of a, you know, an interesting time for me in my life, and coaching offered an avenue where I could still stay around the game, influence kind of the next generation, and it's become something that's almost been year round in some in some years recently. Whether it's with Selects, I had a little stint with the Riot, certainly with Sheldon now, getting to, you know, be around certain elite camps or hanging around the Thunder or the Rams. It's a lot of fun, and you get to hang around a lot of guys that are a lot smarter than you are. So you pick up a little something each time you're at a camp or at a practice. So the kids certainly make it fun. The kids are the number one thing. It's all about the kids and the players. So it's just a really fun thing to put the time into.
Addison, what makes a good coach in your opinion? What makes you a good coach, I guess, is a better way to put it.
I think it's something that I picked up from Rick and a couple other coaches along the way, certainly when I got to hang around Paul Appelese in Winnipeg. To be a good coach, you have to be a good teacher, and you have to understand that not every player is going to learn the same way, and not every player is going to respond to a kick in the pants. Sometimes they need, you know, a little bit of a soft conversation here or there just to kind of refocus them or bring them back on track. So I think a big thing is just understanding that no one player is the same. No one player is going to learn the same. No one player is going to react the same to different situations. So you kind of have to have, you know, tailor-made approaches to each of your players. You can't just treat everybody with a blank approach.
What did you need?
I kind of needed to be left alone sometimes because I was extremely hard on myself. Whether if I ever busted a route or dropped a ball, I needed to kind of just be left alone and deal with it by myself. And certainly going through the Rams program, you know, there wasn't a lot of drop balls, Baldy, right?
No, were good, man. You were good. I was a big fan.
I kid, of course. But, you know, Bernie Schmidt, our offensive coordinator there, he kind of knew he didn't have to get in my face because on the inside I was getting in my own face. So he certainly knew how to deal with me, and I appreciated that.
You came out the same time as, I believe, Nick Dembski when the Riders took Nick Dembski. How does Addison Richards look back on his football career, right through the Rams and, you know, Sheldon, the Rams, and then how it ended up with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
You know, when I look back and I feel that I got what I put in, sometimes, you know, when it comes to the injury thing, no player can really guess or find out or have a crystal ball as to when the injuries are going to catch up with them. So I took it as far as I possibly could, and I feel that I gave everything I can when it came to the off season or prep every week for each and every opponent. When I did step away, I felt like there was a lot left to be desired. I you know, wanted to be able to compete for a starting job at the professional level. I certainly wanted to have a chance at a championship at the professional level. But now, you know, I have that chance with coaching. So I still am kind of writing my football story, even though it's not on the playing field as a player. I get to do it as a coach. And, you know, I look back and have a lot of great memories and was able to, you know, have a lot of good memories with teammates and coaches as well.
Where do you want to take this coaching thing? You mentioned it there. You kind of alluded to it. Do you want to kind of maybe get into the university ranks, maybe try to go pro? Like, what do you want to do?
I've thought of the idea of maybe, you know, taking the jump to U Sport or junior. But the one thing that I come back to is I really like the high school level for a number of reasons. The biggest one I think is you just have so much more impact on the kids away from the sport altogether.
Right.
There's been kids that, you know, they come to the team and it's you chat about them after practice and it's so much an escape from things in their, you know, everyday lives, whether it's pressures, you know, with grades, whether it's stuff going on at home, and you really get to offer up your time or kind of mentorship abilities to these kids. And so it would make it difficult to sort of jump away to a higher level, knowing that, you know, you could have this impact there. So that's what kind of keeps me at sort of this high school age right now.
That's great, man. I always approached it when I was coaching, not so much high school, but the younger kids like Bantam and Peewee, to keep them interested to go to the next level of football. That was always my goal, to keep them interested in the sport so you didn't turn them off the sport. And I always love the kick, get a kick out of when they come, you know, guys in their 20s or 30s. Hey, coach, they still call you coach. Like, when they see you, they call you coach. It's like, gee, that's a long time ago, but it's kind of neat. You know, you left the kind of an impact on their lives. Okay, let's talk about 7-on-7, Addy. This is something that's big in the United States. This is cool. I think Zelko is talking to them. They've got, like, you know, different varsity teams from, like, Estevan and Yorkton and Belgoni. We've got a Sheldon team. We've got a Miller team. You've got the Addy Avengers. I'm hearing they're, I like to call it, a bunch of misfits put together. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it certainly is kind of a island of misfit toys, if you will. I mean, I've got kids coming from six different high schools. The biggest contingent is from Winston-Knoll. I think I have five or six. And then after that, you've got Sheldon, Greenall, Luther, Miller, and I just added a Martin player. I think that was just before our games last weekend. And yeah, it's an interesting group. At the first practice, I mean, I took a look at the kids and I don't have the tall guy. I don't have the speedster. I kind of have, you know, a lot of guys that are their average skill, but they're certainly smart players. And we're 3 weeks in. We'll be going into our fourth game this weekend, and things are starting to gel. It's tough to create chemistry where there hasn't been chemistry before, but that's something that I relish that challenge, and it's starting to come together.
Now, it was supposed to be with soft shell helmets, but of course COVID's backed everything up, so they couldn't get the order in. So you guys are actually wearing helmets, and it's, what is it? Is it one hand, two hand touch? What is it?
It's really, yeah, just first tag off. It's okay. One or two hand, and it is touch football. So any sort of excessive contact that's not considered incidental is going to draw a flag. And it's been an adjustment for certainly some of the more physical players that are used to, you know, taking heads off and flying around. But kids are doing a good job.
Yeah, pretty, from what I can tell, it's pretty pretty exciting. And it's great. I like it because it really it helps progress that passing game, which we know is big in Canadian football.
Absolutely. And when I was first kind of getting asked to coach, I wasn't sure if they were just going to essentially mimic, you know, the U.S. 7-on-7. You know, the Selects program plays U.S. football when they go down in February. But then I found out that it's full Canadian motion. Everything is fair game. So for anybody that's running an offense, there's a lot of space for creativity.
You know, that's the thing about Zelko. Like, he does take kids south to try get their, you know, give them a chance to try to get on in the U.S. with the scholarship. What he did with my son, I've told that story a couple of times on this podcast. But it's not at the detriment of the Canadian game. Like, he's very much a backer of the Canadian game, which I like. And yeah, I think we need to do that. You know, one of the disappointing things for me, Addison, is they seem to be moving away from the Addison Richards when we get to the pro league. Like, we're kind of moving. We might have that wide side wide out for the Canadian spot, but otherwise we're not really looking at Canadians in skilled positions, which is kind of, I don't like it. I think we need to, you know, kids got to have the dream that they can go be the next Addison Richards or Chris Getzlaff or Mike Edom, or, you know, in the skilled positions.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. It seems like you hit it right on the head. When it comes to skill positions, they're stashing that guy at the wide side wideouts, and everybody else is kind of an offensive lineman, or there's not very many guys like Andrew Harris that you can start as a Canadian at tailback. But yeah, I completely agree with you that it is important for these young guys, whether they're RMF age, high school age, or even in the junior and youth sport, they need to have those guys that they can see themselves becoming. You know, if I put the work in, I can become, like you said, the Chris Getzlaff or any of those other
Bauman, Richards, Neil Hughes, those kind of guys.
Any of those guys that get to make the jump, and they're not just, you know, special teams guys, but they're in the mix, they're in the offense, they're getting targets, they're scoring touchdowns in playoff games or Grey Cups. And no, you're right. I don't know why there's this sudden sort of shift away from going after quality Canadians, but you know, the CFL has some time now that they have the year off to maybe sort of figure that one out.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, lastly, tell me about some of the guys on your team.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got a couple here that I felt like highlighting. young man named Ben Morris, one of the guys that comes from Winston-Noel. He's kind of my quarterback on the defense, and I don't have the height, Ballsy. I don't have a lot of tall guys, and he's certainly not one of the tall guys. But when it comes to ball in the air, deep down the field, I don't think he's had somebody go over the top and pick one on him. So strong guy on defense there. I kind of have two quarterbacks going. One has played the position for a number of years, and one actually that is at Sheldon. He's playing it really for the first time. Ethan Hug is the more veteran guy coming from Noel.
Yep.
I look at him. He's got a pretty release. The ball comes out fast. Something that you would almost compare to kind of Noah Pickton like. Again, not a very tall guy, but throws a pretty ball, and he's a smart guy as well. The second guy coming from Sheldon, Tyson Green, who was just in grade 10, and will likely, depending on if we have a season or not, be our starting quarterback at Sheldon. But he's learning the position and developing his fundamentals and confidence within the offense. Guys catching the ball. There's a couple that I'd highlight. Keegan Curtis from Winston-Noel, grade 11, a guy that I think with some fine tuning can certainly be a U Sport or a junior receiver. I think he's talented enough to make that jump. And then one final guy I would highlight, John Morstadt. He's a grade 11 at Sheldon. He's kind of been a project of mine for a couple years, just sort of developing him physically, and now that he's caught up that way, really kind of diving into his skill and his knowledge as a receiver. And I'm excited to see what he will do when we can finally get back on the field for Sheldon.
Really disappointing to me, Addison. Sorry for cutting you off, but you can add to this. Really disappointed from my perspective. You can say whatever you want. Like, we're sending these kids to school. Okay, they're going to school, and I've driven past a couple of these schools on the outside. Believe me, there's no social distancing. So we're going to school, but all of a sudden, well, we can't play 12 man. It's got to be 9 man or maybe 6 man. To me, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, we're picking and choosing where we can get sick. Well, we can get COVID on the field in 12 man football, but we can't get it in the hallway when there are 150, 200 students. It's stupid.
No, and I would agree with you. And I've heard you've made that point a couple times on this podcast here. Like, does anybody really know what's going on? And I feel like that kind of could be applied to things bigger than high school football in Regina. But you're absolutely right. It's hard to justify that. You know, there's a pick and choose as to what's an at-risk situation or what's not. And you're right, these kids are getting filed in the classrooms in close proximity every day. What difference is it if they come out on the football field and there's a few extra guys out there? So I'm really not sure, and I just hope that they do right by the kids and make a decision that that people can be somewhat happy with.
And my thanks to our coach of the week for Pizza Hut's Addison Richards for joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy and continuing to pass his knowledge of the game on to the next receivers in Saskatchewan, trying to follow in his large and accomplished footsteps out there in the 7-on-7 league with Deb and Zelko Stefanovic in the SAS Select 7-on-7 football league in Moose Jaw, and also as the receivers coach over at Sheldon Williams, his old high school. You know, you can't write this stuff. Yesterday on this podcast in the last installment, I had talked about feeling bad for grade 12 students and how we can play 9-man football at RMF with the kids from all different schools coming together to play on the same team against other teams, but we can't do it at the high school level. Now this, man, this reeks of politics. When did COVID-19 really go full-fledged politics? So we can have Halloween. We're allowed to have Halloween. The kids can go trick-or-treating October 31st. But when they get home, they're encouraged not to touch their candies for 3 days. How are the parents going to stay away from candies for 3 days, right? How am I as the dad going to stay away from my kid's stash for 3 days? No way. I'm diving into those rocket candies. How stupid is that? Where do they get? Do they get a comedy writer to write these laws? Like, yeah, okay, the kids are going to wait till the parents wipe off all the candies. Maybe you can have a couple then. But by and large, wait for 3 days, kids. Okay, so we can Halloween, but we can't play football. You know why? More voting. There's more votes out there related to Halloween than high school sports. Huh? Yeah, read the tea leaves. absolutely pathetic. This virus has become political. Absolutely political. Makes me puke in my mouth. All right, time now to talk on the phone with our buddy Matt Dominguez, former Rider great, former Denver Bronco, who left our fair city for his home state of Texas. I saw you were at a Texas high school football game with your daughter at the Cowboys practice facility. Is that right?
Yeah, the way it kind of just works out is that where my kids go to high school, their high school plays at the practice facility. It's called the Star. Here in Texas. And so, yeah, the Cowboys are there, and Lone Star is her high school, and that's actually where they play.
That's kind of crazy, hey, how here in Regina we are sending kids to school, but we're not letting them play football because they can get the virus on a basketball court or a volleyball court or a football field, but they can't get it in the hallway. I saw the basketball league here, the RCBA, they shelved their season this year, something you near and dear to your heart because you coached in it, but because the kids might contaminate the gyms. But we're going to open up the school gyms for voting, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's no playbook for this, right? It's kind of the first time any of us have all gone through it. And I think in the RCBA's case, if they wanted to go forward, they were so far behind the eight ball in order to get gyms ready to go that they couldn't do it. I remember clearly the last week that basketball was still open there in Regina, they only allowed one parent per kid into the gym. So, you know, there's nothing we can really do. It's kind of just roll with the punches. As we get new info, we go forward. But in the meantime, we're going to have to sacrifice a lot of different things. And part of that is, the kids being able to go out and participate in the stuff they want to do.
Yet the NFL rolls along, and we're going to our pick six now, brought to you by Sasselect Football. Zelko and his wife, Deb Stefanovic, out there in Moose Jaw with their 7-on-7 league. Okay, let's start in Texas with the Dallas Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks. I loved how the Cowboys had they didn't quit, man. They came back at least. They did their part, and Atlanta did too, by not knowing what to do on an onside kick. And then you've got Russell Wilson, who last week was 8 of 11 for 159 yards and 5 touchdown passes under pressure. So it's Dak Prescott against Russell Wilson, 2 defenses, not playing that great. Who do you got in this game, Matt?
I got to go with Seattle. Russ is coming into his own. They've structured an offense around him the way that kind of he wants it. They have a defense that is clearly playing better than the Cowboys defense, and the Cowboys defense is hurt. Mm. So you've got all those things together. It just has all the markings of dangerous to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we've got Houston at Pittsburgh. The Texans have lost to the Chiefs on the road and the Ravens at home. Not too easy games by any stretch of the imagination. Now they have to go play a 2-0 Pittsburgh. What do you got in this game? Steelers or Houston?
Yeah, I think Houston's really. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. Those guys are at home. They're playing big. They got a really good defense. And Big Ben is just kind of really getting his feet under him right now. So, I fully expect Pittsburgh to come out on top of that one.
How about Chase Claypool? What do you make of the young Canadian receiver?
Look, I told somebody the other day that once they figure out how they're going to use him, physically he's top tier. And so once they figure out what his all receivers aren't the same. Some are play action receivers, some are deep threats, some are possession types. Once they figure out what he's best at, the sky's the limit because he's got a good quarterback and a good system.
And he's got a great nickname too, doesn't he? Mapletron. That's a great nickname.
That's the first time I've heard that. It's crazy. And yes, it's excellent.
That is a great nickname. Okay, so the Raiders are at the Patriots. Raiders are off to a 2-0 start, but this is a tough road game. The Patriots played well in losing to the Seahawks, especially on offense with Cam Newton. Defense is a bit of a mess for the Patriots in the secondary, which is concerning. But who do you got? Raiders at Patriots.
Well, as you know, I am an avid Raiders fan.
Yes, I know.
But I can't give them this one. The Raiders have been keeping games close and kind of winning at the end for the most part. But no, Cam being there, they have a good system in place. The stereotypical flight across the flight across the country. I just feel that the way Cam is playing, the Raiders don't have the secondary that can keep up with what he does well, and he's movable. He's mobile, so he can go. I think that this is going to be a close game, but I think that eventually the Patriots take it in the end.
Do you have any sweatshirts that are as holy as Bill Belichick's the other day? Do you dress like him in the pandemic right now?
No, you know what? I saw that, and I was like, it looked like Bizarro Belichick, man. It's like, what is he doing? I don't have any. By the time my stuff gets that holy, I retire it.
It doesn't make it. Yeah, the Titans are rolling at 2-0, while the Vikings are reeling. The Vikings, can they be as bad as they've looked? And I'll tell you what, two of the dumbest trades in football: DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals, and Diggs going to the Buffalo Bills away from the Vikings. The Vikings have no weapons besides Thielen. I know Dalvin Cook, but at the receiver spot, they look like they're a mess. Who do you got in this game? Titans at the Vikings.
Well, I think the bigger issue for the Vikings, Ballsy, is that the Vikings' defense, which was supposed to be great, is not great.
Yeah.
They've been playing like trash, and that was their identity, was strong defense, and hopefully Kirk Cousins doesn't mess anything up. But when you don't have a strong defense, then you're going to have an issue. And, they've got to bring along the rookie. They have first-round receiver in Jefferson, but they got to bring him along. He's not a star, and he's not really featured yet. So you got those two things there. You don't got a legit passing game. Dalvin Cook there. He got paid. Well, let's see some production. But at the same time, the way the Titans have been winning, ball control offense, stout defense, those things travel throughout the NFL, and they're really good come playoff time, and that's what they're built. That's how they're built. And so I foresee the Titans taking it.
One of the factors you cited in your Raiders losing to the Patriots is cross-country travel. The Rams are going cross-country again after playing in Philadelphia. They're going back to Buffalo, and it's two 2-0 teams. Both quarterbacks are playing well. Goff with the Rams and, Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. Who do you got in this game? I think this is going to be one of the better games on Sunday.
I agree. The Rams actually stayed in that area.
Oh,
they
did
actually
they?
Didn't
okay.
go back.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They actually stayed there.
Okay.
But I'm actually going to pick the Rams in this one because Buffalo doesn't have an answer. I don't believe that Buffalo has an answer for the defensive line of the Rams. Josh Allen can run, and if he's going to break the pocket a few times, then he's going to have to do that. But overall, I really like the Rams' defense in this one. And I actually feel that if Buffalo takes this, and if it's an offensive game, so Buffalo, all of a sudden, puts up points offensively, which they can. They have some of the weapons, but if they do that, I actually see them as a top tier team. Then,
yeah.
if they can offensively move the ball against this Rams team, and then win the game, I actually think that Buffalo should be be viewed as a top tier AFC team.
Aren't the Rams looking more like the team that was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago?
Slowly but sure. You know what? This COVID times, man. You just because no preseason, a lot of these kinks are getting worked out in week 1, 2, and 3. So
yeah.
So they're slowly but surely getting to where they need to be.
Yeah. Okay, last game of the pick six, Matt Dominguez. Carolina at the Chargers. Now, Carolina will not have Christian McCaffrey in this one, which will put the focus on the passing game. Chargers did a great job against Patrick Mahomes last week. Justin Herbert gets the start again. Your thoughts on who wins this game?
Yeah, you don't have McCaffrey. You don't got nothing over there. This is going to be Chargers. Herbert has now had a whole week of first-team reps, so they've got a condensed playbook for him. Even when they didn't, he had a really good showing. I think the Chargers, this is the Chargers to lose. They're at home. They've got a very good defense as well. And when you've got a kid that's now taken all the snaps all week at number one, he's going to be a number one. I think he's going to be better off.
Has anybody had worse luck than Tyrod Taylor? How about the doctor puncturing his lung?
Well, that's the guy that has the worst luck, but Tyrod's about to get a lot of money because of that. So
yeah.
don't weep too much for Tyrod.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, have you ever? What kind of painkillers have you ever used? Is that like a common thing here? Like everybody's like, oh my god, But that's not as uncommon as you think.
Well, you know what? I actually have only seen it one time in my professional career. It was Romanowski. He took a shot when I was at the Broncos. If guys were doing it in the CFL, I didn't see any of it. But I got to be honest. If I like, where was all this when I was playing? Because I sure would have took some of this stuff at that time. Like, where was all these injections, dude?
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? It's funny because I'm you know me, I like the Chargers, and I was mad after Anthony Lynn was saying, you know what? No, it's Tyrod's job to lose, even though Herbert played really well against the defending champs. But I mean, you could see why he says it's Herbert's job to lose when they're the ones that inflicted the injury on Taylor with puncturing his lung.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine text me. He said, "Do you think Herbert spotted him at 20? They could just do that and just do it up front. spot the doctor at 20 just to go a little deeper than he should."
Well, Herbert's dad's a doctor. Maybe he's the one that gave the injection.
Well, they're hilarious. Like, think about it. It is the guy's got a rib injury,
yeah.
And then, you know, he's the starter, and all of a sudden he has a rib injury, and then now the one injection that he needed just to alleviate some pain, that's the thing that's going to keep him out, you know, multiple weeks now. It's just the worst luck.
Okay, so lastly, I got two more quick questions for you. Is Drew Brees shot? Sure. Is Drew Brees shot? Do you think he's shot? Everybody's talking about how he's done now. Now, Michael Thomas hasn't played, but everybody's concerned that Drew Brees is done.
You know, I don't think that. I just think that their philosophy has adjusted. They're not pushing the ball downfield, and you could point to, well, maybe Drew Brees doesn't have the velocity to do that. I just think that whatever they're seeing, they're not taking the shots they need to take. You pay Kamara a bunch of money. You pay Michael Thomas a bunch of money. Those guys ain't going vertical all the time. You don't know Michael Thomas as a vertical threat. You know him as a get open guy, right?
Yeah.
So, when you don't got Michael Thomas and your offense is built around that, you've got to find, kind of manufacture some of that. So they played two games. Michael Thomas has played, a quarter and a half?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all your offensive money wrapped up into two players, and one of them is gone. So, you know, Michael Thomas scored. He had 150 catches last year, something crazy like that. So that was Drew Brees' guy. So now he's got to adjust, and it doesn't look good. And I don't think the O-line is as stout as it used to be. And so all those things, as a quarterback, you don't have your top receiver, your line end is great. It just didn't look right. And because it doesn't look to his standard, to the Drew Brees standard, you know, the fall is much higher now because that pedestal was much higher.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, lastly, speaking of great quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes on Monday Night Football. Who do you got there? That's going to be a good one.
I actually think that I'm going to take the Ravens, only because the Chiefs' offense doesn't look as potent as it has in the past. It's like some people have game planned them. And so they also look like they're rusty and they're not in the right form, or they need to adjust some things, and it's not going to be done right now. The Ravens' defense is really, really good. And Lamar Jackson plays a type of offense where they can eat up some clock so their defense stays fresh. You know, they're able to get people on and off. So I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one. It's going to be I'm not going to say it's even a shootout. I think the Ravens are going to beat them by, you know, two touchdowns probably.
I don't disagree with anything you've picked, actually, to be honest with you. I might pick the Cowboys against the Seahawks just because I think the Seahawks could be poised to kind of lay an egg and there's no fans. But other than that, I can't disagree with anything that you've said.
Look, Ballsy, I actually prefer the Cowboys to win because I got Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb in my my fantasy. So I actually want them to win, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. Hey, appreciate this. Good luck in Texas. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.